From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Evening Edition.
Now at 6, a soggy Sunday with more rain on the way. Darren Peck has the details on when it will roll in and how strong it could get. And the massive snowfall helping fight California's drought, but now researchers are finding microplastics in remote areas of the Sierra.
We don't know what the biological consequences of that are at the moment. What we do know is that these microplastics are there, that exposure is occurring, and really it shouldn't be occurring.
We've all seen it, scooter riders behaving badly in San Francisco. The future of scooter companies as the city works towards one common goal. Good evening, I'm Andrea Nakano. This near record snow season has boosted Sierra business and dented the drought, but those are not the only changes we're seeing in our mountains. Scientists have found tiny particles called microplastics in newly fallen snow in the Sierra. As John Ramos reports, scientists say this is part of a growing global problem.
Typically, the concern over plastic pollution has centered on our waterways, but now there's growing evidence that it may actually exist in the air around us. The snow that's fallen in the Sierra holds hope for an end to the drought, but it may also hold a warning. For the past 2 years, Dr. Monica Arienzo, an associate professor for the Desert Research Institute, has tested high Sierra snow in several locations and found something that shouldn't be there. Tiny plastic fibers in the new fallen snow.
What we found so far is that some of our sites do have microplastics in them. We've identified nylon and rayon so far. We still have a lot of work to do to compare between these sites and then compare from year to year.
It's not the only place where plastic should be out of place. Environmental researchers have also found microplastic fibers, like those in synthetic fabrics, in the pristine waters and snow of the Arctic region.
It is a piece of microplastic. It's a piece of polyester floating out there in Antarctic waters. We don't know what the biological consequences of that are at the moment. What we do know is that these microplastics are there, that exposure is occurring, and really it shouldn't be occurring. This is part of a man-made problem that has now gone global.
The tiny fibers showing up in snow and rain is part of a growing body of evidence that the consequences of man's obsession with plastic are now being carried to even the most remote corners of the world.
And it's likely the mechanism that these microplastics are also turning up in the high Arctic and in Antarctic, because these are so tiny they can be carried in long-range atmospheric transport through the air.
Dr. Lisa Ertl with the Five Gyres Institute has helped study plastic pollution in San Francisco Bay and says it appears that the problem is only worsening.
We did a study just published last week where we looked at 40 years of microplastics in the world's oceans. And from about 2005, we see a rapid rise in the amount of plastic that's in the oceans. And this is a similar trend in habitats and wildlife around the world.
The evidence is clear, but there are still questions about how much, if at all, such small fibers may affect man or even living creatures. But Dr. Arienzo says finding plastics in unlikely places has become so common, researchers now expect to find it.
We actually wrote our first proposal to look at microplastics in Lake Tahoe, and we were actually told by a lot of people we wouldn't find any. And pretty much everywhere I've looked in Tahoe, I have found microplastics.
Dealing with a problem this big and this tiny can feel a bit hopeless. But scientists say we can do a better job of capturing the plastic before it gets into the environment. And of course, it wouldn't hurt to simply create less of it.
Last year, California became the first government in the world to require water agencies to test for microplastics. And speaking of water, we got some today with showers around the Bay Area. Let's get over to First Alert meteorologist Darren Peck with when the next big wave is moving through, Darren.
Next rain gets here on Tuesday, and it's rain matched with wind, and we need to watch for both of those. The wind might be a bigger impact from that one, but let me show you how this will play out. We say goodbye to today's system, even though it's gray and still misty out there. We don't see anything significant rainfall wise going forward tonight. And by tomorrow, it's blue sky. We are in a break on Monday, so make the most of that. Get out and enjoy it. Because when we let Tuesday play forward, now you can see that next band of rain coming our way. We're going to talk about the rain in detail coming up in the complete First Alert forecast. But here's your preview. Tuesday morning, it's widespread rain. And then for much of Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday, it'll be scattered on again, off again showers. We'll look at that. More on that coming in a second. What I want you to see now is a different view of the atmosphere, the winds. And we're going to watch the winds as they're resolved off the coast, because you're going to see something show up. Look at that circulation right off the coast. That's the center of the low. I'm going to just stop it right there on Tuesday at noon when it's sitting right off the coast. This is how we can get some of our windier setups. This is not going to be a repeat of last week when there were numerous trees going down. These winds won't be that strong. But it is going to be windier on Tuesday than the one that we just had. So I want to talk to you about that and how long it'll last. Coming up in the complete first alert forecast in just a bit. For now, Andrea, back to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Darren. Even though we didn't get a ton of rain, it was enough to cause this landslide on State Route 29. This is right by Mount St. Helena. CHP says the road is closed between Calistoga and the Lake County line. As the rain falls, Caltrans is going out into the environment to pick up trash. It's Clean California Day of Action at San Jose's Coyote Creek Trail. People collected as much trash as they can carry. It's part of a state project that pledged more than $1 billion to clean up California and educate people about the importance of not littering.
And we can get a change of mindset to where people stop littering, stop illegally dumping, then I think that we'll have a much better place for us to live in and for people to come and visit us.
Whiteside said Caltrans sent a mass request across the Bay Area. And it's not just the rain making roads more hazardous this past week. We got new figures on the number of traffic deaths in San Francisco. 37 people died on the roads last year. That's up from 27 the year before. Three of those deaths involved scooters, up from just one in 2021. A two-alarm fire overnight in Oakland burned some storage units on Coliseum Way. Oakland Fire said they saved potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages, with their response of around 1:30 this morning. No one was hurt. The rain didn't stop a food drive at World Mission Society Church in Hayward. People were able to drop off canned goods and other non-perishable items. About 20 volunteers with the church orchestrated the event. The goal was to collect more than 400 pounds of food for those in need.
We are hoping to really help our community and show them that we care for them.
The group hopes that events like these will lead to more community food drives throughout the Bay Area. Russian President Vladimir Putin made a surprise visit to Ukraine's Donbas region today, his first visit to Ukrainian territory that Russia seized since last year's invasion. This is the closest Putin's been to the front lines since the war began. Putin was in Crimea yesterday, which Russia annexed from Ukraine 9 years ago. And on Friday, the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for his arrest, accusing him for war crimes. A 6.8 magnitude earthquake struck southern Ecuador, killing at least 14 people and injuring almost 400 in Ecuador and northern Peru. People are going through the rubble trying to pick up the pieces of what they have left. The quake destroyed at least 44 homes and damaged around 80 schools and hospitals. Take a look at this. This is the Puerto Bolivar Marine Museum on Ecuador's coast. It collapsed in the quake, and people have been using boats to rescue some of the artifacts. Former President Trump is calling on his supporters to protest, claiming he's about to be arrested in New York in a hush money case. Now that Manhattan DA's office is coordinating security measures with New York law enforcement. Skylar Henry has wide-ranging reaction to the possible indictment.
Former Vice President Mike Pence says an indictment of Donald Trump is not what the American people want to see.
I'm taken aback at the idea of indicting a former president of the United States. It just feels like a politically charged prosecution here.
Pence cited Americans' right to peaceful assembly after the former president called on his supporters to protest in a social media post announcing he expects to be arrested on Tuesday. In an apparent response, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg emailed his staff saying, quote, "We do not tolerate attempts to intimidate our office or threaten the rule of law in New York.
We have strong institutions and should have confidence in the due process of law. And I think that's what you're seeing play out here. Nobody's above the law."
A New York grand jury is investigating hush money payments to women who allegedly had sexual encounters with the former president, accusations Trump has denied. Some say an arrest could help boost Trump's prospects for the 2024 presidential race.
I think it's building a lot of sympathy for the former president.
I think it'll probably charge and probably amplify his base. given that he's running.
Go Trump! Go Trump!
Supporters came to rally in Trump's defense in Oklahoma, where he appeared at the NCAA Wrestling Championships and near his Florida estate.
I mean, you could keep going after him and the outcome's all going to be the same, and it's only going to incite more people to come out and support.
Trump's claim aside, the timing of any possible indictment remains unclear.
Now to the struggling banking system. San Francisco-based First Republic Bank is having their credit rating downgraded again. Credit rating agency S&P Global is moving the bank to an B-plus rating. This is the second time First Republic has been downgraded in less than a week. At least two banks are getting lifelines today. Bloomberg is reporting that New York Community Bank Corp is looking into buying failed Signature Bank. And the Swiss government is working on a plan for the bank UBS to take over their rival Credit Suisse. And meantime, the House Financial Services Committee plans to interview the head of the FDIC and a member of the Fed's Board of Governors. Committee Chair Patrick McHenry told Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan they need to understand why Silicon Valley Bank and others failed in the first place.
We need to understand the decisions that were made last weekend. From Thursday until Sunday night, yeah, on whether or not there's a viable private sector solution.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have said they would consider raising the federal insurance limit on bank deposits to keep customers from abandoning smaller and regional banks. Right now, the FDIC protects deposits up to $250,000. That was an increase from $100,000 after the 2008 financial crisis. Former Trump economic advisor Gary Cohn is one of several prominent voices who support raising the cap as high as $10 million. But he warned that the system shouldn't raise the costs on all depositors.
It could be one pricing for deposits below $250,000. And then you could have tiered pricing. As your deposits go up and you want them insured, it will be more expensive to insure those deposits.
Cohn also said it's important to keep deposits in the banking system rather than in treasury bonds or bills, since that could slow economic growth. A traffic nightmare for drivers on a Michigan highway. This is a pileup of more than 150 cars yesterday evening. Part of the highway had to be closed as the accident was cleared. Michigan State Police say whiteout conditions had been reported prior to the accident. 16 people were hurt, but thankfully, none of the injuries were serious. A nearby family reunification center was set up for those involved in the pileup. Thank you so much for watching. 60 Minutes is coming up next, and we will see you back here at 11. Until then, the news always continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area. Good night.